You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
I didn't hear a lot of bellicose talk between by Indian leaders or with Pakistani leaders. This is a relationship between India and Pakistan that has improved. And they're trying to build on that. But India expects Pakistan to act, and so does the United States.
That's Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice yesterday making the rounds on the Sunday talk shows after returning from her trip to India and Pakistan. It is a complicated situation, to say the least. Pramit Chaudhary, senior editor of the Hindustan Times and an Asia Society International Council member, joins us now for more. Welcome.
Thank you.
So was the secretary's trip successful?
Well, it's given time. It's basically demanded, or she has put pressure on Pakistan to pay a price for at least tolerating the Lashkar-e-Toiba, the militant group that is blamed for the attack in the Mumbai hotels. And the question now is whether Pakistan will pay it and whether it will be enough, because it's not completely certain what will be acceptable to India.
And whether or not the response will be credible to India, because we're reading a lot about how India is under growing pressure to retaliate in some way. How would you measure that pressure?
It's considerable. During the attacks, five Indian states actually went to the elections. They actually held their elections during the terrorist attacks. And it's widely expected the results, which will probably come out in the next few days, will indicate a very strong electoral reaction against Prime Minister Manmohan Singh for his perceived incompetence in handling the terrorist attack. And in any case, his party, India has to go for general election sometime before April. So if there is a very strong electoral response, his party now will face probably certain defeat in the elections that are coming up. So obviously the need to have a strong response will now be one of the electoral considerations over the next few months.
And what position do you think that Pakistan is really in to crack down?
Well, that's part of the key problem. There is nobody really in charge in Pakistan right now. We have a president, Zardari, who does not control the military and is daggers drawn with the leader of the opposition. The prime minister is equally powerless. And the military is essentially running its own independent structure. And then amidst all this, you have these Islamic militant groups who also function virtually as a state within the state.
Well, Mr. Chaudhary, you're arguing there for a scenario which disturbingly sounds a lot like Israel / Gaza, where in a sense, because there is no perceived control within the Palestinian community, Israel is motivated to take unilateral actions to restrict the border, to crack down on perhaps the Islamic community inside India. That sort of scenario where you take internal matters and matters related to your border to try to enforce security against a terrorist group that appears to be operating freely inside Pakistan, that would be a very disturbing result.
Well, there's a number of key differences. One, Pakistan is still a much larger entity than the Palestinian nation, and it has nuclear weapons. The army is still by far the most integrated, coherent, and powerful force within the Pakistan system. And if it wishes, it is in a position to enforce almost anything that it wants. So a lot of what happens essentially in all of this is really designed to put pressure on the military in Pakistan to carry out actions.
Can India have direct relations with the army without compromising the civilian leadership?
No, it can't. It cannot have direct diplomatic relations. But India makes it very clear through a number of back channels that it has with Pakistan and maintains with Pakistan that we recognize that Zardari is not the man who is in charge here. And General Kiani, who is the Army Chief of Staff, is. So we expect him to take action. And that's one of the reasons why the military strikes option is now being debated in India, because that is a direct attack and essentially a humiliation for the Pakistan military more than it is for anybody else.
So given all of these dynamics, what can Pakistan do that the U.S. will and India will accept as truly making efforts as they've promised?
It's a good question. We don't fully know. Right now, they've already begun a crackdown on Lashkar camps, and they've arrested one of the key commanders of the Lashkar, Lakhvi, who is considered one of the masterminds of the Mumbai attacks. India's given a list of 20 people they want arrested. It's almost certain that they will not get all 20 people arrested. More importantly, though, India's asked for them to be extradited, which, again, Pakistan is almost certain not to do. And I think a lot of this will now depend on evidence that Pakistan is taking action, combined with a recognition of how weak the Pakistani system is right now to actually do anything, and combined with an issue of how much the Indian public is prepared to accept that this is sufficient. And I think this is going to be a sort of a shifting landscape, a shifting set of indices over the next few months as the Pakistani, Indian, and the U.S. governments try to make a judgment as to what exactly will be acceptable to the electorate. Prime Minister Manmohan Singh may decide that he may just sacrifice his political career.
Well, you certainly describe a combustible situation. We appreciate your thoughts this morning.
Thank you.
That's Pramit Chowdhury, a senior editor at the Hindustan Times and an Asia Society International Council member. He was coming to us from Washington, D.C.
He makes an interesting point that if the Indian military were to retaliate against Pakistan, it would humiliate the Pakistani military, which is probably the only institution that can create security on the ground for India.
And not to mention all the ripple effects in the entire region.
Indeed.
We're going to turn now for the ripple effects of the headlines.
One second. We want to remind everybody that containers are traveling all around the world, okay, full of stuff that you buy. I suspect you buy your shoes from some country all over the world. Where do you buy your things from? And is your fruit shipped from Mexico? Are you really concerned about buying local? How aware are you of where stuff comes from? Tell us your stories of international trade and what's in the containers that come to you. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. And now some headlines from Femi. Okay.
Thank you, John. Were you suggesting that Adora needs a container for her shoes? An entire box that's shipped around the world?
I didn't say a word, and I didn't take it that way. Nothing gets by Femi, okay.
That's good. 29 minutes past the hour. Here's a quick look at some headlines making news this morning.